Du lyssnar på en podcast från Hillsong Church Stockholm. Vi hoppas den ska uppmuntra dig och bygga ditt liv. För att få mer information om Hillsong och allt som händer i kyrkan, gå in på www.hillsong.se.
Just going to pick up real quick from where I began last service, and the simple title is Every Single Step I Take. It's my goal. I can speak on behalf of your pastor in this regard, that I know it's his goal to take another step. He's focused on the future, but you don't get 10 years of fruit and people getting saved and lives being changed from looking so far ahead where you're leaping over opportunity. This is the church that believes every single person matters. Somebody once said to me, oh, is your church about numbers? Yeah, because God is too. You're one. Every single number matters. My goal is to make sure that when I think about Jesus this year, that I'm getting closer. Every day is a step into his presence, into his grace, into his mercy, into his love. And this is not a dance party that you get to stand on the outside of. Have y'all ever been, I don't know if it's like this in Swedish culture, but if you were to come to an American high school or a wedding of some sort and there was a good song being played, you would see the natural circle develop where most of the people stand on the outside. And they're all trying to push each other to get in there. I mean, everybody's in the party, but not everybody's dancing. They want to dance so bad. And you got your own little thing going on with your one friend. And then it takes that one person just to get in the middle, and they just start crushing it. And it's never like the cool dancer that's memorable. It's always like the spastic guy who can't really dance, but he doesn't care, and he just like crushes it. I have resigned myself to say, you know what? If God has started this party on this dance floor, far be it from me to come all the way inside, to come all the way into where I can hear the DJ, and I don't care if every other Christian around me is thinking about it. You know what I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing? Standing in the middle of the opportunity that God has given me. I'm going to step into it. Some of y'all maybe have spent time on that outside. Maybe you've never even gone into the party before. But now you're at a place where you're in the party. And now you're like, someday I'm going to dance. That day is today. Two words we don't allow at Hillsong New York City. Someday and almost. Someday I'm going to do something awesome. Someday I'm going to be somebody who changes the world. Even worse, almost. I almost showed up to volunteer. I almost prayed for you. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't almost die? Almost. I wonder if you're going to take a step this year. Step tomorrow. Some of y'all, calm your heart. You're thinking about all the stuff you have to do. Jesus never asked for that. He never asked people to figure it all out. Come and follow me. In fact, he said, when you do follow me, rest your head. This burden is easy. This yoke is light. I'm going to read you one story. Luke chapter 6. On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue, and he was teaching, and a man whose right hand was shriveled was there. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. I want to live the kind of life where people are looking so hard, trying to make up reasons why this isn't right. Looking for reasons to accuse Jesus. So they watched closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. That's what religious does. Religion, the religion system does that. I'd rather make sure I keep the law rather than give you freedom. But Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said to the man with the shriveled hand, get up and stand in front of everybody. So he got up, and he stood there. And Jesus said to them, which is more lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? And then he looked around at all of them. I can just see that happening. Jesus was like, making sure nobody's not paying attention, making sure everybody's done texting. Y'all done? Because I'm about to show you something. He looks around at all of them, and he said to the man, stretch out your hand. So he did so, and his hand was completely restored. Don't you love the under highlighting of the Bible? Here you have a man who had a hand that was shriveled up. Jesus just speaks a word, and now this man is healed. completely restored. A couple things you got to know about this story, y'all, so it really makes sense real quick. This man did not belong there. Just the kind of sickness he had, he was not allowed anywhere near the temple. So he was already a rule breaker. Secondly, it was shameful to have his hand like it was. This is interesting to me because the Bible's real weird with its details. Whenever you see a random Bible detail, why would God go to such great lengths to say it was his right hand? Because his right hand represented his ability to provide. It was his identity. It was his whole ability to provide for his family, and it was shriveled. So he stretches out his shriveled right hand, and it meets the holy right hand of our God. And guess what changed? Not God, that man's hand. But hear me. If you're going to get this as we pray, I think we need to step into the supernatural. Because there is always more if you want it. How comfortable are you with the supernatural? Because this man wanted a physical healing. You know what he got? He got a spiritual and a physical healing. Think about that. He walked in thinking, best case scenario is I'm not going to get kicked out. Little did he know, not only was the God of heaven and earth going to call him out, but he's going to leave healed emotionally, spiritually, not just one kind of healing. What if I told some of y'all that prayer request, not only is God going to do that, but should you desire to step into the supernatural, he's going to do more than you could ever ask, imagine, or dream. Do y'all find it interesting that in this story, the first thing that Jesus asked this man to do was to step up? I mean, you would think he would have rushed over and been like, let me see your hand. Why? Healing was easy. Stepping up in public was the supernatural part. It's like Jesus wanted to make sure he made everybody mad. He could have healed the guy from the other side of the room. Why did he want this handicapped, don't belong dude to walk across to embarrass him? No, to highlight the gospel. Jesus, I'm proud of you. I want you to walk forward. No, I could heal you from back there, but I want you and your hand that doesn't belong to walk all the way through and stand right here. This is the supernatural. You come in thinking it's going to be this, and God's like, yeah, right. I wonder if the counterfeit has dissuaded your passion for the real thing. Because I live in the country of counterfeit ministry, where you flip on every TV channel and there's a prayer cloth you can buy. That's funny, by the way. Some of you guys are like, I have one, whatever. There's somebody asking for money, $10 to get you 10 promises, $100 to get you 100,000 promises. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Then you see people who you know are fraudulent in what they're doing. So you have a whole generation in America right now who's like, I don't believe in the supernatural because it's been wrong. And now we've lost some of the essence of the gospel for people who feel like they don't want to step into that because they'd rather play it safe, which is I love Jesus, but the whole supernatural thing, I'm going to step back. I got to a place in my life where I used to think like that, and I made a decision to step in, and I am so glad I did because I was living the guarded Christian life. I explained a little bit about it last service, the charismatic thing, the Holy Spirit thing. I was like, I don't want to go to hell, so I will follow Jesus. Who's ever been there? It's like the lowest level of salvation. It's called fire insurance. And I was resolute. You know, when you first get saved, you know everything. Literally, you still smell like the club, but you want to point out Christians who have been doing it better than you for years. Anyway, that was me. And I was like, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in the Holy Spirit. I don't believe in the whole speaking of the tongues. I don't believe in anything charismatic. This, if you really love Jesus, you're going to look miserable. No fun. I used to judge everything emotional. Don't you love when people do that? Oh, that service was emotional. Yeah, God created your emotions. And I remember bringing my friends to church. I didn't like the church I went to because it was a little bit too spontaneous for me. This is in like Los Angeles, the Malibu area. And God was doing something in this church. And I didn't know what I was walking into, but I kept on going back. Even though it bothered me, I knew it bothered me for the right reasons. You know, the preacher would be like, you know, I'm going to do this instead of that. I'd be like, whoa. Like have those moments of lingering worship which some of y'all are uncomfortable in because you're like, is there going to be a word up there? Like, what are they doing? No, it's just actually being in God's presence. It's okay. And I had worked so hard to bring 5 of my best friends to this service, and they finally all came. Who believes in bringing your friends to church? And I had prayed that this would not be that weird service. You know that service you pray never happens? Like, I was like, Lord, don't let the weird stuff happen. Don't let weird, socially weird Sally be the, you know, that lady in church who overhugs. She says, you can't hug for more than 10 seconds. And I was like, don't let Hallelujah Bob sit in front of us. There was a guy who would just yell hallelujah at all times. Please don't let us have four offerings. Please don't let, you know, Sister Martha get up there and testify like just. And I had my friends, and they all thought I was crazy because I literally went from death to life. Stopped doing everything I was doing. Fell on my face a lot, but they even saw the way I got up, and that impacted them. So I had a couple friends like, all right, we'll give it one shot. And it just happened to be that service where the worship was kind of electric. And I was like, it's going good now, but I got that weird feeling that something bad's going to go down. And the preacher gets up, and he's like, hey, y'all, I don't normally do this. I'm like, I normally do this, but I really feel like God is compelling me to do it, so I'm going to obey him, and had a whole message prepared. But what we're going to do is we're going to spontaneously baptize people. And I was like, and three guys come out with buckets and stand next to him. My friends are like, yeah, I mean, one goes. The other one goes. And I had like one really faithful friend try to stick it out. But he was like, so if you're cool with this, great. If not, don't worry about it. You can just stand there and worship while we baptize. And they just started going to work, psh, buckets, praying. People are falling over. My one friend was like, I'm out. You know, so I'm sitting there, and I'm upset. And I'm frustrated because I'm like, this is weird. I don't even know what's going on. People are getting prayed for, and they're falling over. I mean, who really does that? And then as the preacher went through the rows, I mean, this is, I don't do this. God can't do that. He can save my life from hell and death, but he definitely can't have somebody do that. I'm sitting there just mad, and then he keeps going by my row, and people are falling over. I end up catching people. I just started going with the preacher, and before I can realize what's going on, I look up. I'm on the stage. I look out at the congregation. It looks like a hurricane hit it. This preacher looked at me and he said, you want some of this? I said, absolutely not. I don't even believe in it. He said, that's fine. He put his hand on my head. Next thing I know, I'm looking up at a ceiling fan. And I remember thinking, this is peaceful. I didn't do this. I hate this. But maybe God loves me. And maybe his plans are bigger than me. Maybe I need to stop putting my religious, limited human logic in front of everything that scares me. And that was the day I was like, Lord, if you got something for me, I want it. I don't want to look back and realize God had stuff for me, but I had, no, God can't do that. Everything that's available to me, I want to make sure I have the right to access it. You know that God doesn't disappoint? Have you ever been to a restaurant? I'm sure y'all's restaurants are better, but like you have a menu, and then you order something on the menu, and the waiter's like, oh, that's, we don't have that. And you're like, it's on the menu. Somebody once told me, don't let some weird blogger or some critical Christian tell you what's available to you. Go through the menu and see what's on there. And if you see it on there, you have the right to order that. So if you ask me, why do I believe in healing? Jesus said I could believe in it. Why do I believe in deliverance? Jesus said I could believe in it. Why do I believe I can speak in another tongue? Jesus said I could do it. Why do I believe that the lost can come home? Jesus said I could believe it. Why do I believe that our church should be an open door to everybody in this city, not just some people? Because Jesus said to whosoever can come. So there's some of you in here tonight, I'm talking to you, where you have limited what God can do. Go check it out for yourself. You have the right to have your opinion. You have the right, but make sure it's yours. One time I asked a guy, I said, can I pray for you? He's like, sure. And he took his hat off. I said, put your hat back on. He said, but my mama said it's disrespectful to have a hat in church. I said, my brother, no disrespect to your mama. We're about to pray to a God who died bleeding and naked for you to be able to have life. I'm not praying until you put your hat on. Cool, respect somebody else's tradition, but we're in this house. In this house, we don't believe that God can't move because you're 1 inch of new era cotton on your head. So if that's your belief, that's fine, but don't let somebody else's tradition become your doctrine. We don't do it like that here. Nobody cares. That's what Jesus spent his whole life doing, disrupting the religious construct to make sure that the everyday people and the normal people could get in. Can you imagine how mad the Pharisees would have been at that? Who is this shriveled hand guy? Who let him in here? They're finding ways to get him out, and Jesus is busy healing them. And with this, I want you to catch this tonight. We got to step into the supernatural, and we need to step into the security that is Jesus. So go to the story. What does Jesus do? He says, stand up, walk across the room. What's the last thing Jesus says? He said, reach out. I am convinced that if more people knew who we were reaching out to, we wouldn't be able to contain. We would not be able to shut off. We would not be able to build buildings fast enough for people to see how awesome this friend named Jesus. Yes, he's God. Yes, he's sovereign. Yes, he holds the keys to hell and death. But he also said he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Are you secure? Can you imagine not reaching out? I mean, for those of y'all who have parents, can you imagine your child needing something and not asking you? Can you imagine them starving? And you say, why didn't you let me know you were starving? Oh, I just didn't know if you really. What would you say to them? We have so many people who are coming into church like this. Do you understand that Jesus died with his arms open? I'm going to hand this back over to your pastor. But some of y'all need to reject the spirit of religion, which is the inability to let go and let God have his way. That's what religion will do. Because some of y'all are holding on for no reason. I read a story a long time ago about a man who was hiking. He's probably hunting with your pastor. I don't hunt. I don't camp. My idea of camping is going, you're like hiking to a spa, to a 5-star hotel. I want to be hiking anywhere. I don't want to tent, none of that. I don't want to cook anything. I want somebody else cooking. Your pastor's a real man's man. This guy was hiking. He fell down evidently a pretty steep cliff and ended up hanging on the side of this cliff for hours. And went from dusk to dark. And the way he tells the story is that he's hanging on to this cliff and he had nothing left. He had prayed for God to deliver him, prayed for God to save him. And he literally had no more strength left. And he said, I guess this is it. And he let go. And about 2 feet later, hit the ground. Hanging on the cliff for hours, but because of the fog, couldn't see. Finally lets go. And he's like, ah! I have been there. I don't want to be there again. How many times does God have to prove he's faithful before I reach out? How many times does God have to prove he loves me before I ask for healing? How many times does God have to lay it out in front of me for me to say, Lord, wherever you send me, I will go. Whatever you call me to do, I'm going to pray for it, because our God is a healer. He is a restorer. He is one that gives liberty to the captives. And I still believe it. Does anybody else believe it? Yeah. Come on, can we sing it out all over this place? Stir your faith. Christ alone. Come on, stay your faith.
Du har lyssnat till en podcast från Hillsong Church Stockholm. Om du vill veta mer om vår kyrka eller om våra söndagsmöten, surfa in på www.hillsong.se.